Sokala Duma Radio.
Hello and welcome to the big interview brought to you by Sokala Duma Radio. In this episode, we speak to Bafana Bafana legend Steven Pienaar. Skillo discusses the Steven Pienaar tournament. How far behind is South Africa in terms of grassroots structures? We speak to him about that. And of course, what does he make of his final year in football in the PSL? And lastly, who he thinks will win the 2018 FIFA World Cup?
Sokala Duma Radio.
So the Steven Pienaar tournament, obviously very close to your heart. It's featuring over 100 teams this year. It's been running for 13 editions now and originally started with under 10 teams. How do you feel the tournament's progressed over the years and what has excited you about the event in 2018?
Obviously for me to be here this year, you know, actually working with the guys behind the scenes, seeing what all the time and the effort that they put in behind the scenes. I mean, over the last years, I wasn't part of that, you know, because obviously work-related stuff. But you know, all the running around, trying to make sure everything goes according to plan. For me, to actually deal with the guys day in day out was a challenge. But now I understand how why it's been growing every year because of all the hard work that a committee put in together.
It's nice to get that personal touch, I suppose. You know, it's something that's close to you, but obviously you've been very busy and flying your trade overseas, and that so that is a nice element to have. I know women's football has also been added to the roster, which is a great initiative considering the success of Banyana Banyana and the potential of women footballers in South Africa. Tell us a bit more about the decision to include the opportunity for women in the tournament.
Yeah, we started last year with that. We look back at everything, and you know, it's a community thing, and you know, there was something that was missing. The guys said, "Listen, it is a community, and women's soccer is part of they are part of our community." So we did some research and we asked around in the community, is there any ladies soccer? There wasn't many, and we actually started, you know, we decided, you know, we have to get it involved, because if you look back, it's not a lot of people want to actually put their time and effort in supporting the women's soccer. So for us, you know, and also we got a great response when we took the initiative last year, because we had under 17 women's soccer, and also younger girls started to play. So, you know, and if we want to get everyone involved, we have to make sure everyone is part of it. So that's why, and obviously trying to promote the women's soccer as well.
Then having hung up your boots recently, are you going to be looking to get into more football development projects in South Africa? You know, a lot of people still feel there's so much that needs to be done at grassroots level.
Yeah, I actually started, I went on my coaching badges for the last 2 weeks and to start learning about all that. Yeah, obviously it depends where Everton is going to push me. If they want me to be based in South Africa to do a lot of grassroots stuff, yeah, or Liverpool. But yeah, I wanna get involved in that. And also now that I've hung up my boots, I've got time, and you know, go into communities and start coaching, and you know, show them the right way of doing things. That's why I took the initiative to go on this coaching course.
When you look at the facilities and that overseas, I mean, obviously having played in some of the biggest leagues in the world, when you look at the facilities and what's on offer at grassroots level there, how far do you think South Africa is behind? Is there a lot of facilities that are still needed yet?
Yeah, we way behind. The facilities is, you can't compare it. I mean, if you go into any, for example, if I go into Liverpool, Everton, for example, in Liverpool, they have, 3D pitches in the communities. And you give the kids opportunity to play on a better surface as well. And here in South Africa, there's not a lot going on. There's not the quality of the pitches are not that great, and I think that's also discourage kids to actually want to play.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can see it just in general with the youngsters in many communities. They don't even have a pitch or one shared by multiple teams and that kind of thing. So, you really do see it day in, day out.
Yeah, it is. Actually, the last couple of months, I've seen it in Wesley where there's 10 teams that have to share one pitch, and you can't train or enjoy a day of training on a field where you have to share with 10 different teams.
Yeah. Mentioning your coaching badges, the one thing I was going to ask you, I know it's so soon after hanging up your boots, and I'm sure you're taking a breather after so many years of professional football, but is coaching something that you are looking to pursue? Is that the active thing that's next for you? Or is there anything else that you're looking at moving into in football or anywhere else, any other field?
At the moment, that's not the main thing, because like you said, my boots. So I just wanted to get the course over with as quickly as possible, to make sure I get my badges as soon as possible. Then rather wait a year or two, then you become lazy and you don't have the interest anymore. So yeah, but as soon as that's done, I think I'm gonna take a break and then start thinking about if I really want to get into becoming a coach or not.
Okay, then just looking back to your last year, I mean, you made your comeback to the PSL before retiring, which was really exciting for a lot of South African football fans after seeing you performing in Europe. You went on to join the defending champions in Bidvest-Wits, but I mean, obviously it ideally wasn't the best of swan songs, as they struggled a bit domestically, despite really good signings, which included yourself. What do you think went wrong for Wits last season, and how would you sum up the experience for yourself personally, obviously wanting to come back to the PSL as a last thing before you retired?
What went wrong? I think if you obviously there's a lot of players coming in, and the club with excitement of just winning the league, and obviously the coach had to make decisions how to put all the teams, all the players in one team, and it didn't work out. And yeah, as soon as the results are going your way, you start panicking, chopping, changing the team every week. So I think it was the first time I've seen a team that after four games has used about 20 or 30 different players for each game in the starting 11. So yeah, I think it also unsettled the players, and most of the players that won the league themselves on the bench, and it was a bit of unrest. But it's also something you normally experience when there's a lot of signings coming in. If the first couple of months doesn't work out, and people start panicking. But for me, that was a great experience, to see it at first hand and how things how people work in South Africa from Wesley played in the Dutch coach, it was totally different. So, and it was a great experience. If I want to become a coach, I'll say that was a good team that I came back to South Africa. I've seen it. I need to do if you want to work out.
Then just staying with the PSL, obviously your former club Ajax Cape Town were eventually relegated to the NFD, though I mean it's still pretty complicated with the court hearings and all of that. It is quite an institution in South African football, though. What are your thoughts on their slipping down to the second division, and how do you think it will impact South African football, considering they developed so many big talents in the country?
It is disappointing. I mean, if you look at from the academy, it's still in good nick, so it is disappointing to see the club not doing so well this year. But to get relegated on like that, it's also a bit harsh. I hope they can do the playoffs over again so they can play. And I'm not a lawyer, so
it's still quite a long process as well.
Yeah, it is sad, because obviously it's a club that develops players, and I think most of the, if you look at players at Chiefs, Sundowns, all coming to the Ajax Academy, so it's disappointing.
Cool, Stephen. On to our last segment now. Just two questions around the World Cup. So obviously it's World Cup time and there's World Cup fever everywhere. Although Bafana didn't make it, firstly, who are your favourites for the tournament? And secondly, which of the African sides do you think will be able to shine brightest in Russia?
My favourite is Argentina.
Everyone's writing them off, though, quite interestingly this time. I also thought it was a bit strange to write them off, considering their talent.
Yeah, I think that group of players want to win a World Cup. They were close last time out, so I think they want to do better than last time out. So, yeah, I'll go for Argentina. I hope, obviously, the two African countries lost just the opening game, so it's going to be tough. I hope Nigeria and Senegal do well, and Tunisia as well, but it's going to be tough. But I had my hopes on Morocco, but obviously losing to Iran wasn't a good start.
Cool. And lastly, just on Bafana themselves, you know, obviously not making the World Cup this time around. What did you make of their last run in qualification, and what do you think needs to change at national team level in order for us to potentially feature in 2022 or 2026?
No, I think it's simple. You need to win your away games. And make sure you win the home games as well. Yeah, obviously, it's disappointing. They had a good run. I think they gave it away when they lost to Cape Verde. The first game, and I think the confidence just went because they were close, and yeah.
And looking at the players that are in there at the moment, do you think they're on the right track in terms of development of players in the country, or do you still think there needs to be stuff done to sort of get the squad settled? It kind of feels like they change so regularly in between tournaments. There's no kind of settling process for some of the younger players that break through, and then maybe you don't see them again.
Yeah, that's been the case for the last 15 years. There's always a new team coming in every qualifying game. So yeah, I think Stuart needs to get the base of his 18 players, and yeah, here and there squeeze one or two in to make sure there's a solid base. And yeah, because they've got a talent, there's a lot of young players coming through. So just need that base to make sure this is a pool of players that I'm selecting for.
Perfect. Stephen, thanks very much for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jason. Take care. Sokala Duma
Radio. And we thank you very much for listening. Thanks as well to Jason Akar for holding it down for the team. From me, Nkululeko Ngeu, it's goodbye for now. Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.